Now, a couple episodes ago, I was talking about a friend of mine that had gotten bitten by a shark in the foot. This has nothing to do with the shark attack or anything like that, although that's the coolest thing ever, that you have a shark attack, but you don't tell anybody. If I got bitten by a shark, well, I live in Ohio, so it's unlikely I'm going to be bitten by a shark. But if I got bitten by a shark, I would get a friggin' t-shirt made that says, I survived a shark attack. And then I feel really bad if I met somebody whose like family got killed by a shark.
Kind of a little bit, but you know, you can't help but offend people sometimes, and they just need to get over it. So terrible.
Wow, that'll be what it says on the back. If you were killed by a shark, or if a loved one of yours was killed by a shark, just get over it. Jesus Christ.
Look, man, I mean, seriously.
You gotta eat. It's hungry. All right.
What are the odds? I mean, you know what I mean? It's most of the earth is water. You know what I mean? And if you get bitten by a shark, and statistically speaking, it is infinitesimal. I mean, you may as well have been not hit by lightning like twice, but then also hit the lottery to be bitten by a shark.
Do you know how many shark attacks actually happen on American shores? It's like a couple a year, if that. And then sometimes it'll go 2-3 years.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, when it happens, it
was
meant to happen.
More people have been killed this week in car accidents than
that's
have
right.
been in the entirety of the American history by shark attacks.
Struck by lightning, falling downstairs, in the bathroom, slip, crack your head on the sink. I mean, these are all bad ways to go, but yeah. It happens way more often than that. But here's the added bonus to your buddy with
you
the shark attack
shark. Yeah,
is
sure.
This. Not only was he bitten by a shark, but for years festering and infected and swelling, I really don't know if it was all nasty or not, but my guess
you're
is...
You're embellishing at this point, but yes, I get it.
I am totally making stuff up. It would never, ever happen on the Chubby and Stick show that we'd make some stuff up.
Fake news!
But there was a tooth left in the guy's foot.
Yeah.
That's even more infinitesimal of a possibility of things.
So this isn't about the shark. Like, he lived down the road from me. I don't know, like 10 houses down. So I could walk there, I could ride my bike. And in the 70s, this is like, you know, sepia photograph time in the 70s. By the time we got to grade school, he had found another group of friends and stuff. So we're talking about preschool. We're talking about like 5 years old, 6 years old. We were like best friends. And like Star Wars came out. So most of my experiences with this guy, it was like before he was 6. So like that's my recollection. Every recollection I have of him, with the exception of, you know, going down and meeting him and having dinner with his family, was what it was like in the 70s when he was single digit in age, as was I. So
you were little people.
Yeah.
You were little kids.
You get
teeny.
That. I mean, you go on Facebook and you like know people and you immediately judge them for the way they were when they were 16 and you knew them in high school. And you're like, that guy was a dick. There's a guy I know who's actually a chiropractor who was my bully in high school.
That doesn't mean he, well, hold on a minute. For the record, just because they turn into a doctor or a lawyer or whatever the hell else doesn't mean they're still not a dick. It just means.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, but that's, I found it amazing that he was a big bully in high school and junior high or middle school, and he went into cracking people's backs for a living.
He's a healer.
He ended up being my wife's chiropractor, and I told her, you can't go to him anymore. He was a bully because of shit he did 30 damn years ago. I won't let my wife go to him.
You got to let go sometimes, man. Let it go.
I should.
Take a deep breath.
But there's this. So this kid, like when I went to go have lunch or dinner with him, we were driving. We were in Florida. And we got in touch with each other. We went to his house, met his family, and he had his parents there. And what was amazing is I walk in and I'm like, what happened to you two? Not that they got old, but they got small.
Well, they shrank.
Well, yeah, because of course, when last time I'd seen them, I was like 6 or 7. You know, so I was a little doodle soccer myself. So
that's
I'd
right.
be walking around. And I have memories of his mother 8-9 feet tall in my brain.
Of course.
Because
yeah.
that's how she was. And then I walk in and she's like 5'5". And I'm like, what the hell happened to you? But she's the same size. I just got bigger. Not just fatter, but I mean, that happened too, but physically.
That's why they call you chubby.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. Perception's everything. They were authority figures. You were teeny. They were grown-ups and had a little, your buddy, Sharkfoot, and you're hanging
out.
That's
his name from now on. I'm going to be calling him Sharkfoot from now on.
Absolutely. That should be what, if he's on Twitter, it should be at Sharkfoot.
I'm going to take his cell phone number. It's going to be Sharkfoot in my cell phone. Yeah.
Now, do you have a picture of a tooth, or you just have a picture of a big foot, which reminds me of the guy from the fair when I was a kid?
I literally have a picture of him getting his foot his with a wound because it's on the internet. Out there.
It's everywhere and nowhere all at the same time forever. There's no getting rid of that, no matter what happens. So everything, though, was different when your perception's a weird thing, whether it's, you grew up poor, when you were teeny, or, whatever it is, how you see things changes everything.
Have you ever gone to your grade school?
Oh, absolutely.
Ever gone to your old grade school and walked through the hallways as a physical adult?
Well, I never went back in. I went in, and I've gone into other ones, other schools, and yeah, the tiny chairs, everything's still have the big pencils. I don't know if they still do that or not. I never understood the big pencil thing.
I do remember those. Those were weird because you had to use both hands to draw with them.
They were almost that big.
Those novelty pencils you'd win at street fairs along with the canes.
No, they're somewhere in between the number two pencil, the fair pencil. No, you had to get those really big. I mean, you could hurt someone with that. I don't know what call them, but they were like kindergarten pencils. They were big. I mean, they were not like kindling big, but big.
Well, when I was in college, my sister and I went with a couple friends, and we ended up just goofing around at my old elementary school. We were just on the playground or something like that. Because college students do that. They go and goof off at the playgrounds. And the doors to the school were open because school was getting ready to start. So it was like 15 years after I'd been a kid. So I walked into the school and I'm like, my God, what happened? It shrunk. It's like somebody washed it in hot water and then dried it in the dryer, and it just got so much smaller. And I realize it's because I was smaller then, and the hallway looks enormous, but I'm walking through and I'm almost hitting my head on the top of the hallway. Now, and like, my wife's a grade school teacher. So I've been in her school. Her school doesn't seem abnormally small, but that's because the first time I walked in there, I was an adult.
I can remember as a kid going back to the apartment building those formative years from, say, kindergarten until maybe eighth grade, seventh grade. And it's exactly what you're talking about, though. It seemed massive. It was huge, this U-shaped apartment building. And I remember visiting the old neighborhood and the hill that was out front that we used to roll down and everything else that seemed like it was massive. It is like nothing. Yeah. In this big, massive building that was two stories plus the basement that seemed huge, not so big anymore. Yeah. The big pine tree out front we used to climb and way up above the roof line of the apartment building, and we used to bomb people with the pine cones.
Jesus.
Still there. Yeah, well.
Bastard, you were stick.
You did, what are you going to play cowboys and Indians? You'd actually, we'd jump off the garage too. We were dumb. We survived. It's okay.
I've been known to do that, yes. Not now, because I'd blow a hip. I would totally break seven bones in the landing.
That's fantastic.
Alone. And then three
in for
more.
The new knee. How'd you do that? Well, I was in the pine tree again, just flashing back.
We had a pine tree at my friend's house. There was a pine tree out back, and it was like his house was this two-story house, which again, in my mind is, like 500 feet tall, but it's a normal size, and I can drive by it now. It's down the road from my parents' house. And so, but in the back, there was a shed, and then behind the back, there was this ginormous pine tree. And pine trees, if you weren't a tree climber as a kid, you don't realize this. Pine trees are incredibly easy to climb because the branches come out horizontally. And you can just kind of climb them like a ladder, and they go up high, as opposed to like a maple or an oak, which it kind of splits off in areas, and you can kind of get up to that first ledge, and then it starts to be weak with you. But if you stand right next to the trunk, you can go way up in a pine tree. And
I just remember the pine tar, which was always great.
Your hands were all sticky afterwards.
And you get it on your clothes, and then you got to explain it to them. I told you not to be up there again. You're not supposed to be climbing, but it smelled so good. I mean, and you could get the pine nuts and chew on those too.
Was that your mother as Harvey Fierstein? What are you doing going up the pine tree?
She'll love that. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, I can't. She'd be like, Sterling, stop. I mean, listen, I'd still be, what she called it was restriction. I'd be grounded is what everybody else called it. If I hadn't actually moved out before they moved back in with you in that type of scenario, I'd still be and not allowed out of the yard at this point, and certainly not after dark, and not allowed to be on the phone late or whatever else it is that you couldn't do, because I was doing dumbass stuff like we're talking about.
I realized at a certain point that nobody knew the stupid things that we did kids. Like one of the things, like I said, Jeff and I, we'd climb this tree, and we would climb high enough that I could see over the roof of their house. Nice. And regardless of what my perception is, it was a two-story house. And
that's
I was
big.
High enough from the back of the yard to look over the two-story house. I could see our school from where I was. I was a good 50, 60, 70 feet in the air. If I fell, I would be just dead. There was no doubt about it. This was not John Rambo leaping off the ledge and landing through the pine trees and surviving. I would be a stain at the bottom of their shed.
No one wants to be stuff on a shed. You know, you want to fall and have it knock sense into you, not knock stuff out of you.
Exactly. And I said to my dad, because my parents are still around, and you know, my dad's in his 80s, and I was telling him about this. He's like, I never knew you did. And his response was hilarious, because he's like, I didn't know you did that. You didn't ever told me. And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't, because I would have never been able to go over to his house again, and I would never know about this cool shark attack that attacked him. But you remember these weird things of, like, not even just the perception of size, but the perception of what's important. I remember when I was there, I have these memories, and I remember I told this to my friend's mom when I met them years later, and we were having dinner. And one of my biggest memories of her was I was a huge Star Wars fan. I was 5 when the first Star Wars movie came out. By the time I was 6, I'd seen it a dozen times. And my friend Jeff hadn't seen it. His parents wouldn't allow him because they were afraid he couldn't differentiate between reality because he was a little kid.
What?
So he wasn't allowed to see it yet, but he knew all about it from the ads and the cartoons and all the stuff. And then we got all the Star Wars toys. So he knew everything about it. And we were once in the backseat of his car. And were you a kid when they had the Star Wars figures, right? You had Star Wars.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I can remember going to see Star Wars at the Daybell Theater as a kid. My uncle Manny's like, hey, kid, come on. You know, we're going to go see Star Wars today. And I like about lost my mind.
Yeah.
And you go there, and they had
my mom
a guy,
still talks about how I was standing on the seat just absorbing it by just watching it. Yeah.
It was a glorious experience. And it's hard for me to think now, and I got to remind myself, that's what multiple generations since continue to have with these Star Wars movies or whatever else. They had a guy they paid to be a Darth Vader in the theater at the time.
Yeah.
And even though I knew if Darth Vader was a villain, I was so keyed up and excited to actually, today
cool
I'd have
villain.
Pictures with him. But I, you know, go up there, I'm like, he's like, he didn't really talk so much, but he had the breathing down. And I was just like, it's absolutely amazing. And trying to explain to my mother after I'd gone with my uncle to see this movie that I got to see Darth Vader in the theater, and she's just shaking her head, had no idea what the hell I was talking about. But I mean, that'll stick with me until I'm dead.
Yeah. So you remember the Star Wars figures, all the Star Wars figures, almost everybody had a blaster or a gun or something like that. And the common blaster was like the Stormtrooper blaster. So you could be interchanged that with the Rebel soldier or whatever. But like Han Solo had his own gun. Princess Leia had her own gun. And those got lost immediately. I mean, like, you open the box 6 seconds later,
gone.
Those were gone. Yeah.
Yep.
And I had one of them in the backseat, and the blaster had fallen out. And I was being cool about it. I'm like, no, it's okay. I mean, I was upset that it wasn't. And Jeff is there going, Mom, you got to find it. Mom, you got to find it. And so you get this perception of what the parents were like, because, you know, she was an adult. She was in her 20s, 30s. I don't know how old she was, but she was a full-fledged adult with kids.
Right.
When these came out, so she didn't give a shit about Star Wars. And she's in their back, and she's climbing over the back seat. Again, in my mind, in my memory, it's this 8 or 9 foot tall woman doing this. And climbing in the back seat of this car, she's looking for it, and I'm like, it's okay. I don't need it. It's okay. And Jeff's there going, no, Mom, you gotta get it. You gotta get it. And then finally she goes, oh my God, I am so sick of Star Wars. I could spit. I never did get my blaster back. It was gone forever.
And you seem to actually have a little of that in you now. Like, I wish I could give you one now to lighten you. It's like an eBay moment where you got to like find it and go get it, you know?
I still have some of my toys. I think I have one or two guns, but I don't think I have any of those blasters yet. It was weird. I never ended up with a Han Solo.
I remember getting the Land Cruiser, I think is what it was.
Oh, the Land Speeder?
Yeah.
I have one of those. I literally can see it on my desk here.
Yeah, that's too awesome. I have no idea what happened to mine. Probably the yard sale or something like that, or I traded it for like a Hot Wheels or fireworks or something. But I remember he had like a little teeny plastic lightsaber that somehow fit in his hand. That was the thing that was lost immediately.
It was like, what it was in the hand and it would push out.
That's
what it was. And on the end of it, it had a little thin, I don't know why, but it had a little thin point to it.
Yep.
Like almost like a little wire at the end, which made no sense. And those things fell off easily. But what was so amazing about it, I never had a Han Solo. Would you do this? You like have the whole collection. I mean, I had all these toys for some reason, never ended up with a Han Solo.
I had all of those. I had a couple. I was lucky.
Well, I had Ben Kenobi. I had, Princess Leia, and I had Princess Leia from both Star Wars and Empire. And I had like R2-D2 and C-3PO, but I had one stormtrooper, like one rebel. The entire Imperial fleet consisted of Darth Vader, a single stormtrooper, and a rebel soldier. And that was it. That was who was all fighting my entire legion of, because I had friends who had like 15 stormtroopers. And to me, that was luxury. That was like,
that is luxury. Rich kids. Absolutely. Had that.
With Empire Strikes Back, I ended up with a rebel soldier from Hoth, and I used him for Han Solo. So Han Solo apparently always was feeling under the weather, so he's dressed very warmly no matter where they went. I had Chewbacca. I had Snaggletooth and the Hammerhead guy. I even had like two Bossk figures that you can get through mail order. Never got a Han Solo.
Well, it's still better than having like a Jar Jar Binks, which I still don't understand. And the other thing,
but you weren't a kid. If you were six in 1999 when that came out, you'd be like, "I love Jar Jar Binks." There is an entire generation of people that are embarrassed to admit they like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, and I'm not embarrassed to admit that I just was bewildered and didn't see the point. And I understand it was a vehicle for those kids you're talking about, but as a grown person, after seeing the other movies, that was just one of those where I'm like, really, what is the point of this crap other than that?
But the Ewoks were the same way. I mean, for adults in 1983 when Star Wars came out, the Return of the Jedi, the Ewoks were stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that.
But for me, who was like 10, I loved it.
Yeah. You know the thing, and you're not one of these, but I remember friends of mine at the time who seemed clearly rich to me, they were smart enough. I don't think it was their parents. They bought the toys or had the toys bought for them that they didn't even open. And they ended up probably paying for college later on. That never would have entered my 6, 7, 8, whatever it was, 9, 10-year-old mind at that point to be able to hold on to it for that. You know, I mean, it's like the trading cards thing for baseball. The kids would hold on to it.
Why the hell? What is the point of buying? I mean, if you are 8 or 10, what the hell is the point of buying Star Wars toys if you can't take them out and play with them?
That's exactly right.
It's like
boobs.
That's
why you buy them. Or you say boobs or booze?
Boobs.
Yeah, okay,
but good. Booze, too. Yeah.
You've been listening to the Chubby and Stick Show.
Copyright Kevin Carr and Sterling Radio. Subscribe to and rate the Chubby and Stick podcast on iTunes.
Like and subscribe to the Chubby and Stick Show on YouTube.
Contact the show and hit up Chubby and Stick on Twitter
at Kevin Carr and at Sterling Radio. Music by MichaelBard.com. Credits voiced by Joe Jewett. I'm at DeborahBenner.com.
Thanks for listening to the Chubby and Stick Show, and keep keeping it real.